Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the things we didn't get to during the course of the show today. Lady Rock out today, taking a personal day. She will be back tomorrow. She's not sick or anything. She just needed a day.
Yeah.
And so I get that. We all need those from time to time. Heads up, next Monday, we won't have any Aftercast or podcast because it is Labor Day and we're off that day as well.
All excited for a 3-day weekend.
I know. And then I'm gone the next week after that. Like, I'd forgotten that timed out like that. Because we have a vacation. I'm going to see my daughter again and pick up my mom. We're taking my mom with us to Disney. And we haven't done that. She hasn't been there in so long. I think it's only fair. She drug us there when we were kids a lot and paid for everything. So figure I owe her the thing. And she's, my mom is like, picture me, okay? And then picture the 100% opposite of me. Like, as far as I can be a little surly and angsty and angry, whatever.
And she's joy incarnate.
Oh, my gosh, yes. My mom is the best. Like, she's so happy, and she will always see the good in everything, you know?
How did you happen?
I don't know.
That is the most amazing part. I know what happened. I've never, I don't know if I've asked per se, but what was your dad's kind of like personality in contrast to you and your mom?
My dad was really similar to me in that, like, he always was messing around with people. Like, he messed around with us kids. Like, he was always playing pranks and jokes.
Nice.
And he was funny. Like, and so, like, we're really similar like that. My mom and dad both had great work ethics, so I got that from both of them. My mom's super creative. And my dad was very, my dad loved to coach. Like, he had his construction business, but then he coached on the side. And that's what he did. Like, he loved teaching people things. So I think I kind of got that from him. And then my mom actually even went back to school to teach and stuff too. So I think that there's a lot of both of them in me. Like, for a long time, I used to just think, oh, I'm wired like my dad, you know, because we were both, you know, like, I picked on Haley so bad when she was a kid. And that's how I was raised, you know, and it was out of good spirit and good nature. But then I was like, oh, and I, you know, attribute my work ethic to my dad. But my mom's crazy hard worker. I mean, she still, like, she has like a craft business and she does stuff. Like, she'll come to my house. She'll be in my house. She will spend like 6 hours in her room back there in between like meals and making things and watching TV. And she just loves doing that. I'm like, you could come out here. It's okay. But she's like, oh, no, this is fine. And she just likes doing that. She just works. She takes cat naps and then she will wake up like wide awake, and then she works again. Like, it's the craziest thing, man. So I realize the older I've gotten too, like, how much of her is a part of me. But the joy part of that, like, when I was younger, when I was a kid, I was really wired like that. Like, I saw the good in everybody. I saw the good in everything. Really happy-go-lucky, you know, like, things just didn't bother me, you know? And as I got older and I got into radio, I got super jaded and super, like, satirical and sarcastic. And I do think it changed a little bit of my persona, you know, and it's constantly, it actually is a real struggle for me to not see the worst in people or not be beyond frustrated with people. Like, the older I've gotten, mm-hmm. I just get so frustrated with people. And it's something that I'm like, man, I got to dial that back in because it, like, the inner dialogue I have, I'm pretty good at, like, keeping it all inside.
Sure.
Like, I don't go nuts on people and things like that. I smile, like, but inside, man, I'm like, oh.
Which it's, like, hard because you're not necessarily gonna stop being upset by things, because, like, if they clash with what you believe and what you think, then obviously, like, those things are gonna hit you.
Sure.
But it's like, how long do you hold on to how upset that makes you, I guess.
It's the dumb things that really, I think like, on big issues, yeah, you have your morals, your ethics, your values or whatever, and when things coincide with that, you stand and you argue against that. But for me, it's like the dumb little things, you know, that just instantly send me through the roof. And so, like, that's what I'm having to, like, okay, you're getting so worked up about things that don't really matter. And I think too, like, the farther I got in my career, I was always really paranoid about people trying to get the better of me.
Sure.
Because there was an element of that in my job. You always had to watch your back because somebody was gunning for you. Somebody was trying to get you fired so that they could have your gig, you know, and it was really hard. And so it made me suspect of people, and it made me, like, not see the good anymore, you know, and I think never want to be taken advantage of. Like, I never wanted to be that guy that didn't see it coming when he got fired, kind of thing, you know. And so, like, that was a big change that I have to, like, reverse now. I got to reverse engineer this and how I got to this place. But speaking about like big things that kind of go against you, like this is one that drove me crazy recently. Jason Aldean, he's a country singer.
Yes.
Okay, his wife, Brittany, got backlash for making transphobic comments on social media. Now, I'm going to read you her comments, and you can tell me what you think. But she posted a video of herself doing her makeup, and in the caption, she said, "I'd really like to thank my parents for not changing my gender when I went through my tomboy phase. Love this girly life."
Oh.
So she's just being funny and being cute.
It's all
so
funny. Yeah,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So Jason responded, you know, laughing out loud, "I'm glad they didn't... because you and I have worked out." Okay, so that's nothing. That's nothing. But then you've got some of her followers that thought it was funny. But then you've got other artists, Maren Morris and Cassidy Pope. They're both country singers, like girls. And they called her out saying that her comment was unnecessarily hurtful to transgender youth.
Aww.
No. Like, she's speaking about a problem, a systemic problem in our world where we're telling third graders that, yeah, you can choose your gender. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, we don't let our children at that age choose their clothes, choose their dinner. Like, we don't let them choose anything because we know that they're just a mismatch of emotions. And so her point being, hey, I'm glad my parents, like, could have, like, you're going through a tomboy phase. They could have, like, a lot of these crazy far left people want to do. And be like, are you sure you don't feel like a boy? Do you feel like a boy? If you want to be a boy, it's okay. You can be a boy. You know, no, I'm just a tomboy. You know, I like riding horses. I like doing this. It doesn't mean I need to be transgender. But we've got this small, minuscule portion of our society that's super loud. And they're speaking into not only their lives. You want to do that with your own life? Fine. Go nuts. Be whoever you want to be. I do not care. Cut whatever you want off your body. I don't care. But stop doing that and telling other kids that it's okay, and telling other kids that this is normal. Mutilating your body and saying that you can go through this surgery is not normal to tell a child this. If you wanted to do it, fine. Okay, I don't care. You know, but like when we sit there and we make it something that's so normal, and if you dare to say, my hand's up, I don't think this is normal, you know, oh, you're transphobic.
Yeah.
You're a horrible person. No, I just don't think it's normal. And I don't think it's like maybe healthy for you to tell my kid that. Like, if you want to tell your kid that, okay, you can do that. That's fine. You can totally do that. But I don't want my hands still up. I don't want my teachers at my kid's school telling my kids that because I don't believe that. And last time I checked, I still lived in the same country you live in, and I'm allowed to have that opinion. And it doesn't mean that I'm a hate-filled bigot and I don't like you. It just means that I don't share your opinion, and hey, newsflash, I don't have to.
No, parenting is not a thing that should have to measure up to every last human being's standards, because like every kid is so unique, and it's the parents' job to steward their interests. And maybe those interests are tomboyish,
right?
But you can still steward those things while explaining, hey, you're a beautiful daughter of Christ. Hey, you're a beautiful woman, but you like these things. That's just what you like, instead of having to even put this like genderish label on things.
Yeah, and it's so crazy, and I just love that these other two country artists go after her, you know, because we've moved from this place. There's been a trans, like a progression in this with like LGBTQ, trans, all of that stuff, where you've moved from, okay, you have to accept it, to then now you have to support it, and beyond that, now you have to celebrate it, you know? And again, it is a tiny percentage that, honestly, you know, you can get mad at me all you want. I think there's something that is miswired there. Like, I just like anybody that has anything that goes against, you know, God's principles or whatever. Like, you could be like super greedy, and that's a miswiring. If you don't feel, you could be a serial cheater, that's miswiring. You've got something out of place in you, because there are people that have things like this that they don't see anything wrong with it, or they see something wrong with it, but they just don't, they feel powerless to change it. And I think that you can look at that with a lot of different issues, not just transgender. You can look at that with a lot of different things, and you have to do the work, in essence, I hate that term, but you have to do that to figure out what is the core of this and why and how do I address this.
And sometimes it almost feels like that route doesn't feel like it's extremely it seems like a little lazy from a parenting perspective in my brain for people to just say, oh, you can do whatever you want, instead of taking on the responsibility right. that is being a parent,
yeah.
that is raising a kid to be hopefully the best version of themselves, instead saying, oh, I'll take a step back and let them
yeah,
choose everything.
Then it's off my plate. Yeah. I don't have to deal with it.
That's what it seems like to me.
And the thing, I think why I'm really passionate about this is I've had this happen like in my own extended family and, you know, having to balance truth with love and kindness with somebody. So people can get mad at me and go, well, you don't know. No, I've had these conversations with someone I love dearly, you know, and I've watched this person be so unbelievably manipulated by other adults, broken adults, and this kid has no idea whether he's coming or going. Like when I really started pinning him down and asking him questions, he had no idea. And it just goes, okay, you're really confused and you're really susceptible and you're trying to figure things out. But this isn't where you listen to one narrative. And what he's being fed is one narrative.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the frustrating thing. You have to do the work as a parent with your kids, like you're saying, Gavin, because it's not always easy. I had a tough conversation with my daughter, and she's 23 the other day, and I didn't want to have it with her, but it's still part of my job as a parent isn't done. You know, and I'm still going to continue with that. But I loved that Jason Aldean's wife like didn't back down, because this is what
I hate.
Someone comes at you and you go, "You're a hate monger," and they go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll do the work. I'll be better." And like she's like, "Nope." She shared a post. She's like, "You have to be 18 to be in the military, 18 to buy cigarettes, 18 to vote, 21 to drink." But quote, "You can take life-altering hormone blockers or irreversible surgery. A child can choose?" ? So she also argued that she thinks now she went full on. She wrote, "I think that it's child abuse to entertain children who believe they're transgender," like to give that space.
Yeah.
Like she doubled down, and that is not going to make her popular. But what's really funny is that she is allowed to have that perspective, and the people who are supposedly so unbelievably inclusive, they're not going to like that perspective, and they are going to flame her, and she will be a villain, and they will go after her, and they're very, very punitive in the way that they handle people that disagree with their, whether it's choice or whether it's, you know, life, you know, how they're wired or whatever. And so it'll be interesting to see where this goes, like, and if there was a rift between her and those two country stars.
And we'll see how it affects Aldean as well in terms of his, like, popularity.
Yeah, in that format, I could see him, like, like killing it.
You're right.
Look at Morgan Wallen.
That was
Morgan Wallen.
Insane situation.
Like, would have been, like, completely canceled, but somehow he ended up sidestepping that thing. Although I didn't know he was married to Kelsey Ballerini.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, look it up. I think it's Kelsey Ballerini, another country
Morgan
star.
Morgan Wallen.
I think, and they're getting divorced. Yeah.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah. I think it's Kelsey Ballerini. I just saw a thing on it today. I don't really know. I don't know much about him either.
I see a name called Katie Smith.
Oh, what? I wonder if I had the wrong, because the Kelsey Ballerini thing surprised me. Maybe it was just another footnote.
Yeah, I'm seeing something about him and another Paige Lorenz officially confirmed their romance in February of 2020. Oh. I'm not seeing anything with Kelsey.
I don't know. Yeah, see, that struck me as weird, so maybe I skim a lot of things I might have read.
He's like, it's funny, because whenever I like listen to his music or I see him talking, I've like lived in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I've like seen this type of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Down there. They're so country.
Chris Rock has turned down an official offer to host the 2023 Oscars.
Oh, that would have been so good.
I know. He should have.
Bummer.
He should have. There would have been so much comedy. It would have been ripe for it. But I think that because they probably wouldn't have wanted to go back to it and talk about it or make jokes about it. Like, I'm sure they just want to move on.
But Will Smith wouldn't be there.
Exactly. You're safe.
10 years. You don't have to worry.
Will Smith hires someone to walk up and slap him. Oh, my God.
His son goes up on stage.
Keep my dad's name out your mouth.
Jada Pickett goes up.
Oh, it'll be so good. The whole family gets banned from the Oscars. Oh, my gosh. That'd be great.
That'd be good.
Yeah, he turned down the offer to host. He joked that it would be like returning to the scene of a crime.
Shut up.
Yeah, he also refused to do like a Super Bowl commercial, too. So I'm wondering if it was about like making light of that.
It's hard because like that would be the perfect thing to like build a certain part of your career on, because he could in terms of popularity. popularity and success. But yeah. I respect him not wanting to leave it in the past, I guess.
I'm surprised that he didn't capitalize on it, honestly, which makes me respect that a little bit more. Like, I figured he'd have a whole stand-up special, you know, that came up after that. Or at least, like, you'd see a bunch of stuff, showing up on YouTube and everything. But really didn't. I'm curious if, like, he was... privately, like, super embarrassed or something, you know?
I
don't want to talk about it. Like, he's the one that came out the winner in that. He took the hit and came out the winner.
I wonder if he's, like, happy with how he handled it via not, going back at Will, because he would have lost in that sense. But I don't know. I've never been slapped on such a public setting before, so I can't imagine that you'd be like, man, my one... moment for me in terms of like a big stage being slapped.
Like, I think I would have been frustrated that I didn't react. Like, I think he took the right way, and I think that that's the only way most people would have reacted. Like, if you're not like a violent person, you get hit like that, you're like, wait, what just happened? Yeah. Like, you're not expecting that, and so you're taken aback, and you're like... And then you're thinking, I got to keep the show going, and then he's trying to still host. Like, we had a microphone go down in here the other day. We're trying to do stuff. Like, and that was nothing. I wasn't, like, getting slapped in the face, and it still throws you off your game.
Oh, yeah.
And so for him, I think he did a great job at balancing it, but I'm sure there's part of him that, as he reflected on it, he's like, dadgum, that man slapped me, and I'm like, he'll sit there and take it, you know? All right, one last thing. You know, you always hear celebrities talk about, like, being frustrated with the outcome of elections and things like that. And they say, well, if so-and-so gets elected, I'm moving. Like, when Trump got elected, there was a litany of left-wing people that all were going to leave. And none of them left, honestly.
No.
You know, I wish they would make good on that. If you're going to say it publicly, go. But Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne are actually moving back to the U.K. They're just peacing out of America. And they've made a lot of money here and lived here for a lot of years. But they're like, we're going back to UK because Ozzy said this is interesting because his is kind of political too. He's fed up with people getting killed every day in his perspective. Although you live in a mansion, like, I know you're frustrated by it, but, and we all are because violence is horrible, but it's not like, I don't know. It's not like worth leaving the country, in my opinion, over.
Probably doesn't impact him.
No, that's
on any on any front other than emotional.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's Ozzy, the good-hearted Prince of Darkness.
No,
because he used to be called the Prince of Darkness. So funny. But yeah, he said Sharon said America's changed so drastically. It isn't the United States at all anymore. Nothing's united about it. It's a very weird place to live, and so they have the means, and they've probably still got multiple places over there, so they're peacing out. It is interesting, though, that Ozzy, maybe even coming to terms with his own mortality, because he's frustrated by the shootings, which we all are. We all think that's crazy, and the school shootings and stuff, but he says, I don't want to die in America. I don't want to be buried in Forest Lawn Cemetery. I'm English. I want to go back home. So,
okay.
Yeah, so it's like maybe he is like, yeah, I'm getting older.
More power to you.
Yeah. Hey, man, if you can do it and you have that citizenship and you don't like it here, absolutely.
I do. I am intrigued by that concept of like, oh, this isn't the United States that it used to be. Like, we've never been this like incredibly united country. I mean, like, have you watched Hamilton? We didn't start like a happy family per se. Like, it's never been a country that's been built upon like every last person agreeing on things and being happy and, ooh, look at us, we're free and we love each other, like all the, like, it's not what we are.
It never will be.
No.
That's the thing. Like, that's a wonderful thought, and it's very utopian. But when you build a society based on individual freedoms, they all are going to get messy and override each other. And then you've got fringe groups of everything that are going to really go crazy and make things, unfortunately, violent a lot of times. But we're not going to ever be totally unified in our viewpoint of things and stuff. So you have to get as close as you can, and I think moving that direction is what we should always strive.
It would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. We should always be trying to get along with each other. I mean, the Bible is really plain on it. You know, it says where it is on you, live at peace with people. It means you have a choice. Like, and Jesus, like, look, it's going to stink, and people are not going to be great to you all the time. But where it depends on you, choose to live at peace. And that's a hard choice for a lot of us on different days as we deal with things that we don't like. But if we all did that, you know, then we would live in a much better place. But but so many people, you know, you're trying to get yours, and you don't care how it affects somebody else. And so that's the problem with democracy, free market, all of that stuff.
Yeah, everyone thinks their point of view is more important than the other person's, and they're willing to fight online and in person over it. And
well, the internet's made it worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because the internet has, like, where before you would be really angry about something and you don't like how it was, and so you would, or you didn't like people, you didn't like a group of people, so you would sit there with your friends at your little gathering, and you guys would all argue and, like, commiserate about how awful these people are. But that's where it stayed, you know, it stayed in that small little group and stuff. But then now it goes out on the internet and it gets, you know, sent around, and more people buy into it, and that's how you form all these hate groups and stuff like that. And the internet gave everybody a voice, which isn't always the best thing, honestly. I mean, there are things that you have the right to say, but it's not right to say them, you know. And so the internet, while it's done some really great things for freedom of speech and some finding people and bonding and uniting and stuff, it's been super divisive. I would say it's been way more divisive in this case than it has been helpful, you know, for a lot of people.
Yeah. Some days I miss not knowing what people thought.
Yes.
On certain things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I agree with Jason Aldean's wife and the way that they're approaching this, but, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that would be an inside joke in her family that we would not have to see people hating on.
Yeah.
So, I miss it.
All right. Well, you know what? That's going to do it for your aftercast for today.
I can give a birthday.
Oh, you have birthdays?
Hey, I got birthdays.
All right.
Okay.
That's how you're supposed to do it. Thank you.
All right. So, who's the shout out for? So, Adeline wants to wish.
I like that name.
I do too. I think it's really pretty. I want to wish my older sister, Abigail, a happy 16th birthday.
Oh, wow.
A sweet 16. She is a really fun older sister. It's fun to play Minecraft with her.
Nice.
Cool because she loves animals, especially her duck, Piper. We love her a lot.
That's awesome.
I hope that's a real duck and not like a stuffed one.
No, I bet it's a real duck.
Ducks are crazy.
They have like older names. I think they live on a farm.
Piper. Abigail, Adeline.
Abigail and Adeline.
Piper.
Yeah.
I love it.
They might be Amish. I don't know.
And then her question was, do you remember your sweet 16? Your 16th birthday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're closer to yours than mine.
I am. That's only 10 years ago for me. Sorry.
That's so funny.
I was a child.
I know.
I am a child.
What did you do?
I believe that for my sweet 16, because that would have been, I have to measure it by grade. I probably was a sophomore in high school, and I think that I think it was in a year that I was new to a school again, so I didn't have a lot of friends, and I probably just went to Outback Steakhouse with my parents.
When
I had friends
siblings
who would, you know, wish me happy birthday, but I hadn't built these like good, great friendships per se, and I had a good birthday parties in other years. Like my 13th birthday party was awesome, but the 16th, that was just I was new to school, so it was kind of calm.
Do you have any high school friends, or are they all from college?
Oh,
because you do stay in touch with some of your friends, like I think from college, but like do you have anybody from high school, because you moved around so much?
Oh man, the last person that I maintained contact with from a high school, I probably haven't talked to for a few years. I had this guy I was friends with in my freshman year, because I only went to the school for 1 year. That year, said he was going to come through Nashville on like a road trip.
Oh.
And we don't stay in contact, but he came up. He's like,
it'd be good to see you.
Yeah.
No.
I like this guy.
Did you?
I would have been okay with it. He was like really cool guy.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know what he's like now.
Yeah.
Because it's been like 10 plus years at this point. But no, I don't talk to anyone from high school anymore. And I used to stay in contact with them while I was in college, because I valued all those friendships. But then it just started to get hard, started to get tiring. We were all living our own lives. So, I mean, I met Haley in high school.
Mm.
There's the one person.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Yeah, I can't think of anybody.
I take her for granted. I'm sorry.
That's so funny. Mine, I had bought a car 2 weeks beforehand and couldn't drive it yet. It was my first car, and I paid for it. And my mom took me to get my driver's license because back in the day, you got your driver's license the day you turned 16. Like, I am dumbfounded by the amount of kids that are 17, 18 and don't have a driver's license.
I don't get that.
I wanted the freedom, man. And so, like, I went down that morning. I remember taking my driving test, coming out. I drove my mom back home. I said, what time is curfew?
Nice.
And she's like, 11:30 or something like that. I'm like, I will see you at 11:30
turn and burn
on the dot. And I was gone all day. Like, I was just gone. I didn't do anything like crazy fun or whatever, but like I went out with some friends and stuff and we just kind of hung out like we would always do. But this time I was driving and I had the freedom of going where I wanted. Like that was the best, man, as a kid. Oh,
I love realizing how easy driving is sometimes. Like it'll just hit me where I'm just kind of sitting there with like one hand on the wheel, just doing like looking at my phone.
It's amazing
maybe.
How your brain is processing and seeing so many things while you are actually distracted or singing along,
oh, yeah.
You know, and things like that. But your body is just in reflex mode of driving.
Yeah.
That is really creepy.
Like the fact that you're just like one little look to your left and you're like, all good. And
yeah.
Then you change lanes. Sometimes that doesn't go as well because
yeah.
You're, you know, too used to nobody being there. But yeah, I remember like I couldn't change lanes when I was starting driving because
oh, yeah.
I was like, I can't turn my head. I'll
yeah.
jerk the car. I can't sneeze while driving. Now
yeah.
I'm like, might as well just let a few out.
I do remember that. I'm like, what if you sneeze? I remember like learning how to drive. I'm like, what if you sneeze? Your eyes blink.
I gotta look.
I know.
It's scary.
I have like sneezing fits though. And
uh-huh.
So like I'll sneeze like seven times sometimes and I'm driving. I'm like, oh, this is
take
so
the
not
wheel.
Safe. Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel. Because I got some sneezing going on. All right. That's going to do it for your Aftercast today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.